Christ did that just for you. And I don't think we understand that enough. Christ did that just for me. So when I'm selfish and I say Jesus loves me the best, I don't feel like I'm wrong in that. I know that if and I've said this before, I know that if I was the only believer to ever have accepted Jesus, if it was just me, nobody else, if the disciples abandoned him and gave up, Jesus would have still felt that it was worth it.
Amen.
Just one person. That's why the angels rejoice anytime a sinner is grasped and taken from Satan. The angels rejoice at that. John 10, please. We're going to go to verse 11 in New King James, please. Give an amen when you get there. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I received from my Father. Jesus decided, and so when I speak on daily delight and what Jesus did for us in the Garden of Eden, when you search out the scriptures, you find that Jesus spent time with Adam and Eve every single day.
Yes.
That's right.
Proverbs, I think is it 38 or 830, says that Jesus delighted in us. We were daily his delight.
Yes.
That his Father delighted in him, and he, or his delight, was with the sons of men. And so Jesus loved you before the foundations of the earth.
Amen.
Jesus cared for you before the foundations of the earth. So much so is that when the enemy came and he tricked Adam and Eve, that Jesus said, "Hey, Dad, I know how we can fix this. Let me go. Let me go and take their place. Let me give myself to them, for them." And so through a series of through history of the Jewish people, it had to be proven out.
Yes.
Abraham, all the way through David, and then all the way through Jesus, that there was going, that it was worth it, right?
Yes.
God could have wiped us out.
Yes, sir.
He did it once before.
Amen.
And he only ever said that he won't destroy the earth again with a flood.
Right.
There's a lot of ways to destroy the earth. Jesus, in John 15, Jesus says that no greater love has anyone but to lay his life down for a friend. God loves you so much, and he considers you a friend.
Yeah.
I am a friend of God. God loves me.
Yeah.
He did it all for me. He gave himself. He came to serve and to sacrifice. I was saying that this morning. What little G God right? Scripture talks all about all kinds of other gods, right? They're little g gods. We only have one almighty, one God. There's tons of demons out there. There's tons of those little g gods that they want something from you. We teach on tithing. We believe that you should serve in the church. It's part of what we do as Christians. It's part of it. But would you, if I told you that it's not a requirement? Let's be honest. There are people that have never even walked in church. In fact, they've walked away from church so many times. But they could give their life to God on their deathbed, and everything before never happened. Amen. God washes us clean. Yes. Washes away our sins. Yes. Away. Not covers them up. Right. Washes them away. Yes. Because He loves you. Because He loves me. He loves us that much. Man. Some would wonder how much love He has given, how much it really, I mean, what was the action? How did He prove it? And we know, if you watch The Passion of the Christ, you saw a Hollywood reproduction of God's love for you on the outside. So, I want to read for you a medical doctor's comments on crucifixion. What is crucifixion? The cross is placed on the ground, and the exhausted man is quickly thrown backwards, with his shoulders against the wood. The legionnaire feels for the depression at the front of the wrist. He drives a heavy square rod, a hairy square wrought iron nail through the wrist and deep into the wood. Quickly, he moves to the other side and repeats the action, being careful not to pull the arms too tightly, but to allow some flex and movement. The cross is then lifted into place. The left foot is pressed backwards against the right foot with both feet extended toes down. A nail is driven through the arch of each, leaving the knees flexed. The victim is now crucified. As he slowly sags down, the more weight on the nails and the wrist, excruciating pain, fiery pain shoots along the fingers and up the arms to explode in the brain. The nails in the wrists are putting pressure on the median nerves as he pushes himself upwards to avoid stretching torment. He places the full weight on the nail through his feet. Again, he feels the searing agony of the nail tearing through the nerves between the bones of the feet. As the arms fatigue, cramps sweep through the muscles, knotting them in deep, relentless, throbbing pain. With those cramps comes the inability to push himself upward to breathe. Air can be drawn into the lungs but not exhaled. He fights to raise himself in order to even get one small breath. Finally, carbon dioxide builds up in the lungs and in the bloodstream, and the cramps partially subside. Spasmatically, he is able to push himself upward to exhale and bring life-giving oxygen. Hours of this limitless pain, cycles of twisting, joint-rending cramps, intermittent partial asphyxiation, searing pain. His tissue is torn from his lacerated back as he moves up and down against the rough timber. Then agony begins. A deep crushing pain begins in the chest as the pericardium, that's the sac around the heart, slowly fills with serum and begins to compress the heart. It's now almost over. the loss of tissue, fluid, the loss of tissue, fluids reach at a critical level. The compressed heart is struggling to pump heavy, thick, sluggish blood into the tissues. The tortured lungs are making a frantic effort to gasp in small gulps of air. He can finally feel the chill of death creeping through his tissues and hit and can't allow his body to die. All of this the Bible records with the simple words in the crucifix. Something about honoring a sacrifice. There's something about the love that God has for us. So many people, maybe you, maybe a friend of yours, say, I've done so much wrong. I've strayed too far from God. How could he ever love me? But the reality is that he went through that for you. When we talk about why it's so important, why what we do is so important, as Christians, as servants of the King, we need to remember that. Completely. That's why I am the way I am. That's why when people ask me why it is I do what I do, that's why. Amen. Because I think that honoring the sacrifice of Christ, all it takes is to tell somebody about Jesus. That's all he ever asked, right? Believe in me, spread the gospel. Seems a pretty fair exchange. Yeah. Romans 5, I'm going to go back to the Amplified, please. Man, it's hard to get through that. Goodness. Yes, Romans 5, verses 6 through 8. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I go back to that quote from Sergeant O'Brien. Only two defining forces have ever offered to die for you. And as I went over that, I remembered, like, last night, I was thinking on this as I was studying it out. You know, we had actually, we had the draft, right? America boasts an all-volunteer army, but there was a time where it wasn't all volunteers. The Greatest Generation stepped up during World War II after the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. And they did. They stepped up and they went to war, because who would dare attack the homeland? Who would dare try to challenge freedom? And they stepped up and they stormed beaches and they oh man, they sacrificed so much. And soldiers have always done that. We do have a lot of the army, even during the draft, a lot of the army were volunteers. Yes. Or a lot of the armed service, not that the army is the only branch. Right. And they gave them themselves. Yeah. For the freedoms that now feel sometimes squandered by young people. Yeah. I'd hate to be that way, the way that, and I know there's youth in here, and I'm not trying to offend you in your generation, But I would hate to squander and forget the sacrifice of Christ the way that the generation that's coming up has squandered and forgotten the sacrifice of so many. That's why I will always bring up Jesus. That's why when even at the chance of losing a friend, I will say, it's Jesus. I did. I had a friend back, I think it was back in MySpace days, so some of you older people don't know. Some of you younger people might not know. But like before Facebook, there was MySpace, right? We had Tom, right? Our first friend on MySpace, Tom. That guy. But I was talking with, I would interact with some friends from high school. And I wasn't the best guy in high school. I've known Jesus since I was a kid. But I wasn't like living for him, even in the slightest. And one of my friends, he says, "Man, Clinton, I really like catching up, but why are you constantly on about Jesus? I have no desire to know him at all." I'm like, "Man, to tell you the truth, it's because when I die, I'm going to a party, and I want all my friends to be there." Amen. I really do. Yeah. I want to be able to see people that I haven't seen since my childhood and hug their neck. I want everybody that I come in contact with, even if I don't like you, I want you to be in heaven. I think I like everybody in here. Some of you I haven't met, so no, I'm just joking. But I want everybody to go there. Because the alternative, I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. Not even on a Cowboys fan. That was for you, Gil. But she took you to Allegiant, so, I mean, you got to give her a pass. Yeah. But, oh, man. If y'all, so this is where the excitement, the happy part comes from. Because I'm going to. God loves me. God loves you. That's an exciting thing. My God freed me from addiction. My God, y'all know, I've said it a billion times, I walked with a cane when I came into this building. My God freed me from walking on a cane. I've watched God restore marriages like mine and my wife's. I've watched God free people from disease. I've watched God take people's sickness, their addictions. I've watched him take the bondage away. Because you know what? There's so many things in this world that bind us. It doesn't have to be those things that, you know, people are like, "Oh, I hate to be an alcoholic." All the while sitting stuck to a computer watching nasty stuff. "Oh, them homosexuals, they're bad." God loves them. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Sexual immorality is sexual immorality. Yeah. We're going to love them the same way that he loved me. Yeah. When I was stuck in that sexual immorality, when I was stuck, like, fooling around with all kinds of ladies, right? He loved me. Yeah. Amen. He gave me a chance. Because his son did that with the things. That's not even an accurate description of what crucifixion does to a body. Right. But we don't know the weight of it. Right. And then in addition to everything, he said, why have you forsaken me? Why have you turned your back? We're talking about somebody the Father had been with Jesus since eternity. There was never a time where God and Jesus weren't together, and all of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, God turned his back on his son because sin came down upon him, and God can't be in the presence of sin. And God turned away from his son, and all Jesus could do is say, "Why, God? Why have you turned from me? Why? Where are you?" So we get a new girlfriend or boyfriend when we're kids, right? And we can't handle be 3 seconds apart. I remember back before cell phones. We had a long house. It was like, and we had 200 feet of telephone cable. "Hey, baby," and you're not even saying anything. You're just, because you're close to, I'm on the phone. I'm serious. Some of y'all, like, I don't know how it was in mom's day. What, you guys have to do, like Morse code, right? But man, I know there's some people in here, and it might still happen today. Mom and dad won't let you be on like the secret phone. You got to carry that big phone around with you with the cable. And then because you walk too far back and forth, or you close the door on it because you're trying to be slick, now it don't work right. So you got to kind of, you're sitting, if this was the big, this is smaller than the phones back in the day. You're sitting there, hold on, baby. You can hear me now. "Hey, girl, what's up?" Right? I distinctly remember falling asleep on various occasions. For real. You hadn't said a word in an hour and a half. But you felt close. Now, I'm saying all that, and it's hilarious, but that's... Now put yourself in Jesus' shoes. His dad turned away from him. All his friends, Peter done already said, "I don't know that dude." 3 times. But Jesus still said, "You know what? I'll do this. I'm not afraid." Actually, no. What he's saying in the garden. "Take this cup. If there's any other way. But not my will. But your will be done." And he decided that he would endure the sacrifice. That he would endure the pain that he would have the next day. That he would endure the humiliation as they ridiculed him. He could have called down all the armies of heaven and destroyed humanity. How many of us, if somebody, what we were doing, I'll tell you right now, if I'm working on your car, if I'm helping you at the house, whatever, I'm not really going to help you work on a car. I don't do that anymore. Honestly, I might not help you at your house. Maybe I'll move a couch or something, right? Actually, I will help. If you need help, call Steve. He'll help you too. But just call Steve? Okay, that's a good idea. No. But if while I'm carrying your couch, I'll deal with you saying, "Hey man, you got to turn that," right? And I'll tell you you're wrong because I used to move furniture for a living. But if you call me names, if I'm helping you, and you say, "You idiot, why'd you do that?" I'll remember I'm saved and you're not going to get smacked in the mouth. But I might leave that bad boy just as taken apart as it was when you said the words. It's not going back together. I'll try not to be vindictive and say, "Oh, I apologize, let me put it back together," and put it back together wrong. I don't know. But y'all realize when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he could have stopped it all. as they walked by and they spit at him, as they mocked him and said, come down if you're the Son of God. Ha! Can your God save you now? He didn't. He endured it all for you. That's the God I serve. That's why I serve God. That's why I do the things I do. That's why in 2 weeks I will stay the night outside with kids. There's going to be food. But that's why I do it. Heather and I have served in Kids Life for over 10 years now. And there are times when it's tired and I really feel bad for the kids, because I know 10 years ago, I was a lot funner to be around for the kids, right? I'm getting to that point where I'm like, I'm a little angry bear. But I still love them so much. I love going to camp. Heather has, and oh, the McNallys, they've been going to camp forever. And we love it. And we do that because Christ sacrificed. Christ gave himself. How silly would I be to say, well, I just can't do that for Jesus after what he did for me. God loves us. So before I close, I did put in my notes. And I got to follow my notes today, which is pretty cool. Before I close, I want to ask you something. Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? Have you given yourself to him? If not, if you would, everybody bow your heads and close your eyes. If you haven't given yourself to Jesus, if you haven't accepted his sacrifice, I'd ask that you just raise your hand really quick. Amen. Glory to God. Awesome. All right. So, everybody, man, this is exciting. Everybody in here done known Jesus. Does actually know Jesus. I'm sorry. That's awesome. We're all going to be at the supper. Keeping patriotic, I was looking over some historical stuff, and I found this prayer from George Washington. And this is kind of for youth. There's a lie that this nation wasn't founded on Christian principles by Christian men and women. They would have you believe something completely different, that George Washington and the like were just deists. They believed in a higher power, but not the Judeo-Christian God. So I'll read this to you. This is his prayer. It's not the famous one from Valley Forge, but this one really hit home. O eternal and everlasting God, I presume to present myself this morning before thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to accept of my humble and hearty thanks, that it hath pleased thy great goodness to keep and preserve me the night past from all the dangers poor mortals are subject to, and has given me sweet and pleasant sleep, whereby I find my body refreshed and comforted for performing the duties of this day, in which I beseech thee to defend me from all perils of body and soul. Direct my thoughts, words, and work. Wash away my sins in the immaculate blood of the Lamb, and purge my heart by thy Holy Spirit from the dross of my natural corruption, that I may, with more freedom of mind and liberty of will, serve thee, the everlasting God, in righteousness and holiness this day, and all the days of my life. Increase my faith in the sweet promises of the gospel. Give me repentance from dead works. Pardon my wanderings and direct my thoughts unto thyself. The God of my salvation, teach me how to live in thy fear, labor in thy service, and ever to run in the ways of the commandments. Make me always watchful over my heart, that neither the terrors of conscience, the loathing of holy duties, the love of sin, nor an unwillingness to depart this life, may cast me into a spiritual slumber. But daily frame me more and more into the likeness of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that living in thy fear and dying in thy favor, I may in appointed time attain the resurrection of the just unto eternal life. Bless my family, friends, and kindred unite us all in praising and glorifying thee in all our works, begun, continued, and ended, when we shall come to make our last account before thee, blessed Savior, who hath taught us thus to pray, our Father. We don't talk like that anymore. We say things like done and done known. Don't forget today. Don't forget the sacrifice of Jesus. Don't ever let it wander from your hearts. Keep it locked up inside. And let that spill out. Today's message is not the joyful, dancing, and happy one that we would love to have every Sunday and every Wednesday. But there's a time in all of our lives where we have to take a focus and realize what God did. And that's all right. There is a time to weep and to laugh, to mourn, and to dance. And Pastor Ricky will be back on Wednesday to make sure we do that. I just love God and what he did for us. And so I'm going to pray, and then I need you to stay seated, and I need the live turned off directly after my prayer, if you would. I have something to say. Father God, thank you for your Son Jesus. We thank you for his love for us, your love for us. We thank you for the words of the gospel, that we would never forget the sacrifice that was made. Lord God, today we lift up the families that over this weekend, they may not be celebrating the way that others are because they have lost a loved one. Those that gave the ultimate sacrifice, Lord God, we thank you for them. And we honor their memory in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before you leave, if they'll turn off live, you come up. It's the one thing about the one thing, the secret thing. Huh? But everybody's here. We should do it. She needs a microphone. I can tell them. All right, so October is fast approaching. We never, ever, ever,